DW Africa Link. Welcome to DW's Africa Link program, coming to live from our studios here in Bonn, Germany. My name is Isaac Mugabe.
And I am Mimi Mifu. Thank you for joining the debate live on our Facebook page, DW Africa. We are also coming to you live on our partner radio stations across the continent.
Coming up on the program, tensions remain high in Guinea-Conakry after demonstrators took to the streets to protest against a possible constitutional change.
Nobody knows what will happen and in the coming days. And then human rights activists and civil society members are also on the ground to make sure that the protagonists sit down together and then to talk in order to reach an agreement.
And climate change activists meet in Ghana's capital, Accra, to map out ways of protecting the environment with the help of local organizations.
Climate change issue now is about people. It's about the way we handle certain critical issues in the country.
And a drowned infant still hugged by a woman, presumably its mother, has been retrieved from the seabed off the coast of Lampedusa by Italian divers.
These are some of the stories that we've lined up for you. But first, some of the world news in brief.
DW News.
I'm Kaidambak with the DW News. A blast at an Afghan mosque killed at least 62 people on Friday. The attack occurred during Friday prayers in the eastern province of Nangarhar. It was not immediately clear why the mosque was targeted, and no group has claimed responsibility. Local officials have blamed the Islamic State, and the Taliban condemned the bombing, calling it a major crime. Turkey's President Recep Tayyip Erdogan said he will discuss safe zones for Syrians with Russian President Vladimir Putin. Erdogan said the safe zones would be implemented on one condition.
Amerika ile vardığımız mutabakatın kısaca özeti bu şekildedir.
If the United States keeps its promise to us by Tuesday night, at the end of 120 hours, the issue of the safe area will have been resolved. But if this promise is not fulfilled, without any exception, the minute this time is up, the operation Source of Peace will resume where it stopped and with even more determination.
Çok daha kararlı bir şekilde devam edecektir.
Turkey has been accused of defying the Syrian border ceasefire despite signing a five-day truce with the United States. At least 28 people have died in northeastern Ghana following several days of heavy rain and flooding. The rains have destroyed at least 1,000 homes, forcing victims to seek shelter in schools and churches. The heavy rain is expected to last for several weeks. This news comes to you from Deutsche Welle, Germany's international public broadcaster. Thousands of protesters have descended upon Barcelona over the past week in support of the jailed Catalonian separatist leaders. Spain's acting Prime Minister Pedro Sánchez said those responsible for violent protests will be punished.
Los culpables de actos violentos serán identificados.
Those responsible for acts of violence will be identified and be taken before the courts to receive the corresponding sanctions. There is no space for impunity in relation to the serious acts of violence we have witnessed over recent days in different cities in Catalonia.
The protesting has become so severe that the weekend's El Clásico match between Barcelona and Real Madrid has been postponed. Dozens of flights in and out of the region have been cancelled. The Chinese Foreign Ministry said it refuted a claim by NBA Commissioner Adam Silver that the country demanded Houston Rockets general manager Daryl Morey be fired after tweeting his support to protesters in Hong Kong.
I saw the media reports and I checked with the relevant department specifically over the situation. Upon what we learned after verification, the Chinese government has never made such a request.
Following Morey's tweet, China has blocked several NBA game broadcasts in the country, especially those involving the Houston Rockets. The first ever all-woman spacewalk at the International Space Station began Friday. The spacewalk will last 5.5 hours to replace a faulty battery. The operation has been performed by two NASA astronauts, Christina Cook and Jessica Meir. For more information and news, please visit our website at dw.com. I'm Kaidambak.
And of course, you are listening to DW's Africa Link program. My name is Mimi Mifo.
And I'm Isaac Mugabe. A warm welcome to those following us on our Facebook page, DW Africa, like Lalo Lalo, who says hello from the Gambia, West Africa. And Musaj Jame, who's also in the Gambia. Thanks for joining us.
We begin the program in Guinea-Conakry, where the situation remains calm but unpredictable after violent protests against a possible constitutional change left at least 10 people dead, according to the opposition.
Conde's second and final term expires in 2020, but the 81-year-old leader has refused to rule out running again. He asked his government last month to look into drafting a new constitution, raising concerns that he might use it as a reset button on his presidency and run again. Well, I've been speaking to DW's Karim Kamara in Conakry on the situation. Take a listen.
Well, the situation in Guinea for the time being is one of a very big precaution because people are still jittery. And the situation is also unpredictable. Nobody knows what will happen and in the coming days. And human rights activists and civil society members are also on the ground to make sure that the protagonist, that is to say the government and members of the National Front for Defense of the Constitution, sit down together and then to talk in order to reach an agreement.
Now, we understand some members of the opposition and other activists were supposed to appear before court. What more can you tell us?
Yeah, the last time they appeared and then the matter was adjourned to today. But the prosecution there have just urged the judge to sentence them each 5 years in prison and for what they called disobedience and causing and incitement of violence in Conakry. So, and they are still there because last time the president issued a statement calling for dialogue. But what happened later was that the opposition says, look, they cannot go to dialogue until these guys are free.
We understand in the past, of course, we know Guinea's security forces have clamped down on demonstration, but we also know that Conde's government has been a little bit more tolerant than the past administrations. Why do we see more clampdown under Conde at the moment? Is it a do or die for him this time?
Well, yes, it's something like that. Do or die for him this time. And then this is why he really is not taking chance at all. The leaders of the opposition, even that I'm talking of, Selun Dalein Jallo in this case, and Sidya Touré, they are all being quarantined in their houses. And you have big police trucks and there's gendarme trucks just in front of their houses. They are not allowed to move, and the people are not even allowed to visit them. So they are cordoned in their houses. One of the platform of the civil society movement here in Guinea, headed by Dansa Kuro, has just issued a statement calling on both sides at least to calm down and to make sure that they did not at least plunge Guinea into a civil war, citing a number of countries wherein you have this and warring factions are still active.
I was speaking to DW's correspondent in Conakry, Karim Kamara, and we head on to the comments straight away. Mimi.
We have a lot of people reacting live there on Facebook page, on our Facebook page, DW Africa, but we equally gathered some of your comments. Mustafa Galadima says that this is very sad and inhumane.
And Adams Zikamabahari says, this is our African leadership. They hang on to power for the rest of their life until people stand up and topple them.
And Mega Gabriel says that is French Africa for you, yet the West dine and wine with these kind of leaders and dictators.
Many thanks for your comments.
We continue with a drowned infant still hawked by a woman, presumably his mother. A quiet, very, very sad story that has retrieved, or the body of the child has been retrieved from the seabed off the coast of Lampedusa by Italian divers.
Well, first things first, a boat carrying 50 people from Tunisia sank last week, drowning more than 15 migrants. The retrieval of the child and woman has struck a chord with those who are advocating a more humane handling of migrants trying to reach Europe through the Mediterranean Sea. Michael Otti reports.
Italy's coast guards have retrieved 9 bodies 10 days after a wooden boat sank in waters 60 meters deep off Lampedusa's southern coast. The woman and child were sighted among 12 other bodies near the upside-down boat. Many of the victims are believed to be children. None of them appeared to have been wearing life jackets. Here's Salvatore Villa, prosecutor for the region of Agrigento.
Currently, we cannot confirm it's the child's mother. The child is laying down, very close, almost brushing against a very young woman with her arms raised. Like in an uninterrupted hug.
Eight others remain missing, while 22 have been rescued. The wooden boat sailed from Tunisia and capsized off the island of Lampedusa on the night of 6th to 7th October. The tragedy happened as a vessel was within sight of a rescue ship. As migrants spotted a ship, they moved over to one side of their boat, causing it to capsize. Salvatore Vela again.
The wreck has been found about 300 meters, far from the point in which the boat started to sink, which means that during the sink, the boat has been pushed by the current together with a sort of cloud of bodies it dragged with itself until it reached the bottom. The pictures of the robot that the Coast Guard sent down in the depths enabled to spot the boat with some bodies caught on it and all around a series of bodies, included the body of a little baby.
Compresa quella di un bimbo molto, molto piccolo.
This latest tragedy is reminiscent of 2015, when a photo of drowned Syrian boy Alan Kurdi, aged nearly 3, lying on a Turkish beach near Greece, shocked the world and became a symbol of Europe's migration crisis. In total, 994 deaths have been recorded in the first 9 months of this year by the International Organization for Migration on 3 Mediterranean routes.
That was Michael Oti, a reporter here at DW. Environmentalists and climate change activists have been meeting in Ghana's capital, Accra, to discuss ways of better protecting the planet and fighting climate change.
And this year's Climate Chance Africa Summit is hoping to rally local governments across the continent in climate action initiatives to make much gains in the struggle, as Akalechi reports.
We have the worst drought right now that we have ever had. In my home state, 99% of the state is in drought.
Discussions at the summit focused on mobilizing non-state actors such as individuals, civil society groups, and the private sector to support the fight against climate change. But at the core of deliberations was the role local governments can play to save the planet. Ghana's local government minister, Hajia Alima Mahama, explains why climate change issues must involve everybody.
Climate change issue now is about people. It's about the way we handle certain critical issues in the country. And it's also a developmental issue now. It's a developmental issue. It's about food security. It's about disaster management. It's even about transportation, urban mobility. It's all part of that. So, and it's about even informal sector. It's about our businesses. How do we do our businesses? It's about sanitation, waste management, production, trade and businesses. It's all aspects of climate change.
Obue Iniget Durand, a climate change activist in Ivory Coast, wants financial institutions like the African Development Bank to support initiatives that are combating climate change.
It's important for AFDB to support civil society organization. So because civil society organizations are doing some work in community, so it's some work that some institution can't do. So civil society can implement some project in community. So we need the support of AFDB to implement this kind of project.
Delegates at this summit have all accepted the reality of climate change and the threats to humanity. What is yet to be seen is how effective their resolve and efforts to save the planet will be in the coming months and years after this event.
As Akalechi reporting now, reports coming in say that the United States in Mozambique's capital, Maputo, has raised concerns about the fairness of the elections carried out. Unofficial preliminary results show that the ruling party Frelimo is poised to win the election. And many of you were commenting on the story already, Mimi, isn't it?
Yes, certainly. We had a lot of comments on our Facebook page, DW Africa. Certainly, you must have seen some of the comments, Isaac.
Yes, Quest Black says, believe it or not, the opposition did nothing to win this election. Their own problems caused of this, especially Renamo. Since Dlakama died, there's nothing but problems, as people we only need peace here.
And John says that elections in Africa are always punctuated by violence. He was expressing worries on the situation in Mozambique there.
Yeah, just keep up the debate flowing on our Facebook page, DW Africa.
And you're listening to DW's Africa Link. I am Mimi Mefo.
And my name is Isaac Mugabe. We are broadcasting live on our Facebook page, as usual, DW Africa.
Coming to you in the next 15 minutes, rice production in Nigeria is yet to meet local needs and standards 1 year after authorities placed a ban on imports.
I really prefer the local rice because it's very, very nutritious. The fact remains that before now, we were used to foreign rice. And that level of dependence of foreign rice is still there.
Well, that's the way to go. Home crops take precedence over imported products. And don't forget that every Friday, we treat you to another dose of sports, so keep around. But first, the National Identification Authority in Ghana is refusing to issue its new identification cards to non-citizens, including those who have stayed longer without acquiring citizenship status. One of such groups are the Fulanis. They will be issued with a non-citizen Ghana card.
And Ghana has been home to some of them for more than 50 euros, and they now consider themselves as Ghanaians. The Fulanis say that they have been working and paying taxes to the government, and the decision to exclude them in the new identification process is simply unfair. From Ghana, Maxwell Souk.
Okay, who is a Ghanaian?
A Ghanaian is a person who is born in Ghana by a Ghanaian. And a blood...
Registration officials at the Zaguri Anglican Primary School in Tamale denying to issue identification card to a Fulani resident in Ghana. The officials say they have been instructed not to issue documents to foreigners who have not been naturalized in Ghana in spite of how long they have been in the country. Audu Seidu, a Fulani born in Ghana 24 years ago, says he is in despair.
I feel very bad because I'm born and bred in Ghana. My father was born and bred in Ghana, and we don't know any place. We have no place to go. We are all Ghanaians, and Ghana too is turning us away. What do? We have no place to go because we were born here. We don't even know me, myself. I don't even know Burkina Faso. Education, my parents, everything in Ghana. And you are also turned away in the own country you are born, bred, everything.
Like Seidu, Abukari Hamidu, another Fulani, has a similar story.
My mother's grandparents were soldiers in Ghana here. They fought first in the Second World War for Ghana. And the papers are there. The papers are there. Evidence. But they just sacked us. And we had no choice but to leave.
But their views are not in conformity with Ghana's new citizenship law. Professor Kenneth Ajiman Atafua is Chief Executive Officer of the National Identification Authority, NIA.
Ghanaian law on citizenship differs from American or British law on citizenship with respect to place of birth. If you are born in Ghana of foreign parents, it doesn't make you a Ghanaian. Fluency in Ghanaian language doesn't make you a Ghanaian if you were born of foreign parentage or if you have lived here for a gazillion years but you have not naturalized.
This decision, Seidu says, will have a toll on foreigners running businesses in the West African nation.
We have gone to school. We have learned gathered experiences in order to work for the country. Everybody has a skills where you can also help the country in one way or the other. If you are denied a Ghana card, how do you work?
About 800,000 Fulanis are currently living in Ghana, but this group of persons are considered stateless, although some of them are serving in the public sector. Abdul Rahman Jalu says,
we don't know whether it's a kind of hatred for the Fulani tribe or I don't know. We are not standing in that. If the person doesn't have the requirement, the person should be registered for. We understand. We want to go by the rules. If you have the requirement, register for the person. And that is it. If the person can vouch for the person, then let the person vouch. If you have a challenge, there's a challenge form. You pick the challenge form.
Fulanis in Ghana, like in other countries in West Africa, have faced hostilities in the hands of indigenes. They are hardly regarded as citizens, despite their claims, and often accused of committing various crimes. A person can become a citizen of Ghana by birth, adoption, registration, or naturalization.
DW's Maxwell Souk there reporting from Ghana. And this decision by the Ghanaian authorities has actually triggered mixed reactions on Facebook.
Very many indeed, but for the sake of our editorial standards, we shall read some of them. Many are not courteous at all. Anyway, let me start with Tebogo Fukubie. Says, the silence is so defying. When this happens in South Africa, it's called xenophobia and Afrophobia. Where are the lobbyists and antiphobia activists? And cry, my beloved country.
Yes, certainly. Fred Jr. says that if they wanted citizenship genuinely, why didn't they apply for that yet? Yes, they did, but they are not allowed to have the identification card since they are non-citizens.
Fred Mayweather Jr. says if they wanted citizenship genuinely, why didn't they apply for that? But I think maybe because the Fulanis are nomads and they have to move from one place to another for the sake of their cattle, looking for pasture for their cattle. So maybe they didn't apply for citizenship because if you're born there, okay, you can be naturalized if you request, isn't it?
Yeah, my question is, what about those who have been living there for quite some time, those who have their jobs there, those who are working even in the public service, like Maxwell Suk just said? It becomes difficult for them.
Yes, of course, by all means. But I think the whole thing should be done in procedure, like applying, and then you get it. There's someone who says, who's trying to answer your question, by the way, Mimi. He sent a comment saying, his name is Macalister Kabori, says, my uncle has been staying and paying taxes in Germany since 1991. Can he be considered as a German? Well, he can be if he applies for it. But he prefers to stay as a foreigner. He'll be a foreigner, of course, living in Germany. But no one, no law prohibits him from applying because it says you only have to live for 8 years to be considered German.
And this last comment by Chika Ora, he says that the best decision ever. Well, that is what he thinks.
Many thanks for those comments. Keep the debate flowing on our Facebook page, DW Africa. Now, to food matters. Rice is a major staple consumed in many Nigerian homes. As shown by the latest Food World Food Index, 20% of Africa's rice consumption is in Nigeria.
Now, the government recently banned rice importation and shut its borders primarily to halt smuggling in a bid to boost local rice production. But questions on quality of locally produced rice has been a talking point. DW's Shola Jaisimi has this report.
Early this week, the governor of Nigeria's central bank, Godwin Emefiele, made an appeal to local rice millers, urging them to halt suspected hoarding. He said this will lead to artificial scarcity and price hikes. A bag of locally produced rice in Nigeria has witnessed a 25% increase. It now sells for about 20,000 naira, equivalent to $55. But some Nigerians, like Abdulrauf Abdulrahman, says it remains the best when it comes to quality.
I really prefer the local rice because it's very, very nutritious. The fact remains that before now, we were used to foreign rice. And that level of dependence on foreign rice is still there, but we are gradually getting out of it.
Nigeria restricted rice imports about a year ago to encourage local production, but concerns are being raised about the quality of locally milled rice. Peter Dama is president of the Nigerian Rice Millers Association.
Now we are encouraging the local millers to purchase milling lines. Also, take note that a number of rice millers have already invested into purchasing and installing of the milling lines that are modern, and they have all that you think it takes to make the rice very good, tasty and healthy. Those who are complaining are people who have already developed foreign taste, not knowing that foreign rice that comes into this country are chemicalized for preservation, and at the same time, they are not healthy.
A member of the Nutrition Society of Nigeria, Ogechi Ukweni, talks about the benefits of locally produced rice to the human body.
Nutritionally, it's very okay in that term.
Nutritionally, it's still very okay in that in the production it is not polished, so it is still high in fiber and some other minerals. So you still get it in abundance in the locally produced rice. You still get it there than in the foreign imported rice.
Foreign imported ones.
Ukweni, however, harbors some reservations about the processing done by local rice millers.
The only thing in our rice production here in Nigeria is most times...
The only thing in our rice production here is that most times the way of handling during production is not properly done. Thereby, during the preparation, that is cooking the rice, you tend to find dirt, like little stones or sand.
Little stones or sand.
Nigeria's annual rice consumption demand is put at about 7 million tons. But local millers produce just over half of this figure. Dama says local rice producers can do better.
The Nigerian millers and
The Nigerian millers and rice farmers do have the potential. They can bridge the gap, and that is what the government intends for the farmers to do, and then the millers, by giving that huge intervention fund to be able to mill rice and feed the nation.
The import ban on rice is in place, and the onslaught against smuggling is on. For now, Nigerians will just have to make do with what is officially available, the locally produced rice.
Shola Jayesemi with that report. Let's delve into straight to the comments. Starboy Brain Brown, oh, what a wonderful name, says, if imported rice is banned in Nigeria, every other thing should be banned to improve and encourage homemade products.
Emmanuel Austin says that DW Africa, what a good journalism, a good step from the central government, but the local farmers were not well empowered.
Temi Tope Arisa says, no, it's not a question of quality, rather a question of quantity produced. Does it meet up to the demand needed by the Nigerian population before the outright ban, he wonders.
We continue with your comments on Facebook. Hilda Tansi says that if it isn't, it is the absence of an alternative. They would improve the quality with time, according to him.
And Osman Brown El Kucho says the best policy for Africa, not only about rice, but this kind of policy should be implemented on everything. We have gotten the rivers, land, and good weather.
Enyi Oke has a contrary view. He says that the border closure is a strangle, is to strangle the economy of the southeastern states in Nigeria.
Talking sport.
And of course, we are talking sports. The German Bundesliga resumes this weekend after the international break.
Tonight, Eintracht Frankfurt hosts Leverkusen, who have only 14 points.
And also, heavyweights Borussia Dortmund and Bayern Munich are amongst the 12 teams in action on Saturday. Assumpta Lato starts by telling us what the Bavarians are up to.
The current champions travel to Augsburg, lying in third place with 14 points. Dortmund in eighth position and with a dismal 2 points hosts surprise league leaders Borussia Mönchengladbach in the day's late kickoff. DW Sports' Felix Tamsut gives his view on two of the games, starting with the Dortmund-Mönchengladbach game.
It's going to be a very interesting game. I mean, Mönchengladbach are currently league leaders in the Bundesliga. I don't think even they've expected the things to work out so well for them. Dortmund are a bit of a disappointment, but then again, they're not that far from the top. So the top of the Bundesliga, the distance between first and seventh is just 2 points. So theoretically, if Gladbach lose the game tomorrow, they could end up being seventh after being first.
Another interesting fixture on Saturday is the game between second-placed Wolfsburg against Leipzig. Felix Tamsut again.
Leipzig won many games in the beginning of the season, but that was to be expected in a way. They're a good team. They have a very young squad, very hungry squad, and the football they play is lots of fun to watch. Wolfsburg have a new coach, and nobody really knew what to expect of them, but they started the season in a very solid way. They've been playing some good football. Nothing exciting, but then again, they're getting the results. Yeah, everyone expects Leipzig to win, but I don't think it's that clear. It's going to be an interesting game.
On Sunday, Paderborn travels to fellow strugglers Cologne, while Hoffenheim hosts Schalke. DW will be doing live commentaries of the Saturday Augsburg-Bayern game. Kickoff is 15:30 German time, and our very own Zipporah Nyambura will be commentating for the first time.
Well, it will be my first commentary, of course, and this is the highlight of the day. It's our reigning champions Bayern Munich versus FC Augsburg. My expectations, of course, are high personally because I've always been looking at other people doing commentary. But now I'm on that other side and I'm quite excited to tell the story. Like what I always thought I wanted to hear to finally tell the football listeners, like, hey, look, this is happening here. So I can definitely tell everyone to tune in. I think it's going to be a great match, especially because no one knows it could go either way, as we have been seeing the last time from the match between Hoffenheim and Bayern Munich. So the expectations are quite mixed.
In the English Premiership, Chelsea will host Newcastle on Saturday, and on Sunday, Senegal international Sadio Mane and his table-topping side, Liverpool, will play against Manchester at Old Trafford.
DW's Assumpta Latos, they're bringing us to the end of this program. We thank you for listening. I am Mimi Mifo.
And my name is Isaac Ngabi. Have a wonderful weekend. See you again on Monday, same time, right here on Africa Link.
DW, made for minds.